Our gospel reading this evening is taken from the gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 16, the story of Jesus' birth. About that time, Caesar Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the empire. This was the first census when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Everyone had to travel to his own ancestral hometown to be accounted for. So Joseph went from the Galilean town of Nazareth up to Bethlehem in Judah, David's town, for the census. As a descendant of David, he had to go there. He went with Mary, his fiancée, who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to a son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger because there was no room at the hostel. Now there were shepherds camping in the neighborhood. They'd set sight watch over their sheep. Suddenly, God's angel stood among them, and God's glory blazed around them, and they were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide. A Savior has just been born in David's town, a Savior who is Messiah and Master. This is what you're to look for. You're to look for a baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger." At once, the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir singing God's praises. "Glory to God in the heavenly heights. Peace to all men and women on earth who please him." As the angel choir withdrew into heaven, the shepherds talked it over. "Well, let's go over to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God's revealed to us." They left running. They found Mary, they found Joseph, and they found the baby lying in a manger. Seeing was believing. May God bless this reading from his holy word.
As I sat listening to the choir and listening as we were singing the songs that we know so well, I've got this baby Jesus on the one hand, and he's so calm and so beautiful and just a wonderful baby, clean, you know how babies are. And on the other hand, I have baby Jesus, and then I've got Savior King, you know, and I look at the baby and I'm just not too sure how I can get to the Savior King, but I know that a Savior King doesn't look quite like the baby or act like the baby or give me the same good feelings, warm fuzzies, that a baby does. And then when I realize, you know, that the whole idea of, or the idea that I got out of today's anthem, was that Jesus was born to love us, save us, love us. And here's the problem. I need to get a little closer. The problem for me is, you know, that some of us aren't as cute and nice and clean as babies. And darn it all anyways, but that's who Jesus was attracted to, you know? He didn't care about the people who had the posh jobs and the fast cars or chariots or whatever they were doing back then. Those weren't the people that he was showing God's love to. He was showing God's love to the people on the margins. And trust me, if you live on the margins, and I do live on the margins, so I know this one, you can get pretty dirty. And you can get dirt kicked on you too. Sometimes it's not all my own dirt. But it's hard when you're living on the margins to, just appear the same way as some others might who are cleaner and The kind of people that you think God might like to be with. But here's Jesus when he grows up, and he's with the outcasts. He's with the people who call themselves sinners. He's with the people who are so humble that they don't want anybody to know what they are doing, what the relationship is with God, rather than letting everybody know that they're the ones that are doing this, that, and the other. He goes with the fishermen, and if you think the shepherds were stinky, like tonight, fishermen are stinky too. I know, I lived in a fishing port for a long time, and they were my friends. But they did have this odor. And yet, that's who Jesus hung out with. And he didn't live in a home for 3 years, you know. Imagine somebody wandering around, going from this place to that place and getting kicked out of some places and being welcomed in others. And he didn't have an address the way we need an address so badly today. He was one of those ones without the address. So I think of Jesus and love, and I think of still huge families in Africa being wiped out through AIDS. And I think, you know, Jesus was here today, that's where he'd be. Oh, but maybe Jesus is here today, and maybe they know that better than we do. And the refugees, think about the refugees who are fleeing and who have been separated perhaps from their families and their friends, and yet they know that Jesus is with them, God is with them, and they have that faith and determination and hope to continue to get where they need to be. And when I look at the world today, I look at the animals and I think, you know, they're almost refugees now. We just keep broadening the need for homeland, and we take it from the animals who keep getting pushed for farther and farther away or farther and farther into our communities. And I think of through the ages how the his disciples, we don't very often talk about the disciples, you know, being a lot of them martyred, because they followed Jesus' way and they loved and they sent that message out, and they too were hanging around with the wrong people. Because they weren't concerned with the social standings. You know, they were concerned with sharing God's love and God's message for everybody. And I think of people like Martin Luther King Jr. and Bishop Romero and countless people of all different faiths who are killed for their faith in our world today. Because they choose to follow the light. It's the light of Jesus or the light of whoever that brings them and their people to God. And they choose that no matter what the consequences may be, because that's what's most important to them, not following the confines of the culture and what the society says is best. So tonight we're going to be, again, sharing the bread and the wine. And during that time, I'd like us to think about that. Do we stand? Do we stand with people who feel perhaps that they're on the margins, people who might feel that they're not accepted for who they are, and they might have to try and put on a bold face or, you know, different kind of makeup or something to get by? Do we follow Christ's message of love in our lives? I do when it's convenient. And I also know that sometimes I just can't be bothered. And so I'm talking to myself, and I'm sending myself a message tonight, but take from it what you will. We're singing about love tonight, and sometimes we're singing about that kind of like the baby love, you know, where it's really nice and it's really good and it's gentle and peaceful. But the love that Jesus brought was a love to turn the world upside down. to right the wrongs and to bring justice for everyone. That's a bold love. That's the kind of love that could get you in trouble. That's the kind of love that a lot of Jesus' disciples through the centuries have experienced. And so tonight, as we're going home, I'd like you to think about the risks that we take because we're Christians, the risks that we take because Jesus loves us and brought us a message of God's love for us and for everyone, and how you and I play that out in our lives. How do we make that important? How do our actions reflect the best of who we want to be? Jesus was in the world 2,000 years ago. Jesus is in the world today. Thanks be to God. Amen.